We begin this week with your heart, women's hearts, to be more precise. My first guest says that when it comes to heart disease, women are undertreated and underserved. And because the symptoms that women experience aren't what we often think of when we consider heart problems, cardiovascular disease can be easily overlooked. Dr. Kevin Campbell is a cardiologist in North Carolina who is trying to do something about the disparities in care.
Women are often misdiagnosed, underdiagnosed, and remain undiagnosed oftentimes when they present with symptoms consistent with heart disease.
Mm-hmm. So, but how does the burden of heart disease in men and women compare in terms of how many have it and how many die from it each year?
You know, it's interesting. If you look at epidemiological studies, the incidence of heart disease is very similar in both men and women. However, in the U.S., more women than men die of heart disease every single year.
So what sort of factors contribute to heart disease in women then?
So risk factors for heart disease are consistent among the genders, but they are high blood pressure, diabetes, smoking or tobacco abuse, obesity, high cholesterol, and then having a family history of heart disease can also give you an increased risk of having heart disease as an adult.
So are the symptoms like harder to notice in women? I mean, let's talk a little bit about the difference then. Why more women are undiagnosed and what some of the barriers are and the obstacles are?
You know, that's a great question. Women are undertreated and underserved. We know that. You know, symptoms in women are very different than symptoms in men. Symptoms in women may include anxiety, feelings of dread, an uneasy feeling, may feel like they have the flu, whereas men can present with chest pain, shortness of breath, nausea, more classic symptoms. And that makes it a little more difficult to sort out, as you can imagine. If a woman comes in with symptoms of flu, what are you going to do with that?
Right, or anxiety. I mean, I wouldn't think you're going to start looking for heart disease.
Exactly. So what you have to do as a healthcare provider is you have to interpret those odd atypical symptoms in the setting of risk, which means you have to actually ask those questions. What are your risks for heart disease? We have to aggressively screen women, and that's a big part of it.
Now, you wrote an online piece that offered up the stories of a hypothetical middle-aged man and woman who both have heart-related events with very different outcomes. Did you base this on your own experience as a cardiologist, and can you walk us through these accounts?
I did indeed. For instance, a 50-year-old man may come in to the office. He's a smoker. He's overweight. He has high blood pressure. And he may come in having crushing chest pain and pain that radiates into the neck and jaw. And that man will be immediately diagnosed in the emergency room, quickly rushed to a cardiac catheterization laboratory where we will do a procedure where we open the artery that's causing the heart attack. Conversely, a woman may come in feeling like she's got the flu, just feeling like something's not exactly right, and maybe she's a little anxious and stressed out at home. She may walk into the emergency room and be given things for anxiety, and no one even asks, does she have a family history? Is she hypertensive? Does she have diabetes? And that may be the first presentation with heart disease, and we completely miss it because we have blinders on and we don't think about the same things in women.
Is that conversation starting to change a bit among emergency room physicians that, you know, maybe we should be screening for heart problems?
You know, that's one of my missions, and I think we are doing a better job. If you look at the data back in the early 2000s, we were even further apart in terms of gender disparities in care, and we're making strides towards offering therapies to women at a closer rate to men. I think part of it, though, has to do with empowering women to take control of their own health care. In other words, making sure they understand what their risk factors are and engage with the physician in modifying those risk factors. If you do that, you're more likely to get care when you come to the emergency room because you're going to tell that doctor, hey, I've got three risk factors for coronary disease. Make sure you check my blood test and make sure you check my EKG, even though my symptoms are odd.
Yeah, and there I was singling out the emergency room doctors when really you need to talk about primary care doctors, OBGYNs. You know, where does it usually start? I mean, where should it start for women being screened for heart problems?
You know, I think primary care is a big part of this. And I think that one thing that we've noticed is that a lot of women only see an OBGYN and don't bother seeing an internist or family doctor, and the OBGYNs are forced to provide some primary care. So I actually reached out about 5 years ago to OBGYN physicians in my community and across the nation and tried to educate them about heart disease and help them develop quick and easy screening tools. And I think that's made a substantial difference, and I think we need to continue to involve OBGYN physicians in this type of screening. Even though they're very busy with women's health issues, this is still killing more women than breast cancer and uterine cancer combined.
We're speaking with Dr. Kevin Campbell. He's a cardiologist based in Raleigh, North Carolina. We're talking about ways that women and their doctors can be more vigilant about recognizing and treating heart disease. What advice do you have for women in terms of staying aware of their risk factors and noticing the signs of a heart attack?
Great question. I think absolutely education and awareness are key. Women need to inform themselves of what these risk factors are. They need to talk to their moms and dads and sisters and brothers and find out what the family history is. Then they need to find a primary care doctor who will listen to them, who will engage with them, and won't blow them off as anxious or disturbed or what have you, and actually work with them as a team to modify risk factors.
I was just imagining, if I was asked to go to the emergency room every time I felt anxious or I felt like I had like flu symptoms, I mean, how do you know when you really should go? I mean, as a woman, you're thinking, really? Anxiety? I'm supposed to go to the ER?
No, I would not say that. I think what you have to do is start with that primary care doctor or that OBGYN and say, what is my lifetime risk for heart disease? There's something called the Framingham score, which is based on lots of data that we've collected over the years where you assign points based on risk factors, and it can give you a calculation of what your lifetime risk is. If you're someone in the low-risk category and you're having atypical symptoms, I wouldn't go to the emergency room. If you're someone in a high-risk category with atypical symptoms, I'd be very aggressive about treating that. So I think it's all about interpreting weird atypical symptoms in the setting of risk and putting those two things together. One way to start a conversation with your primary care doctor may be to print out your Framingham score and say, hey, this is what I came up with. What do you think about that? What is my risk? Do I need a stress test? Should I modify some of my lifestyle and behaviors? So I think it's all about starting a conversation.
Mm-hmm. And then again, of course, Dr. Campbell, then we dread the follow-up conversation, which is to change a bunch of things that we do.
Exactly. You know, it's very difficult to modify behavior. You know, I struggle with it too. You know, we all, particularly when we're in our 40s, our metabolic rate slows a couple of percent per decade. So we really have to start exercising more to maintain body weight. We have to be careful of all the yummy things that we eat because the yummy things often are very bad for us and our waistline. And as our waistline expands, our risk for heart disease expands.
Well, Dr. Kevin Campbell, thank you so much for talking with me on Sound Medicine.
Thanks so much for having me. Have a great day.
Dr. Kevin Campbell is an assistant professor of cardiology at the University of North Carolina Medical School. He's the author of Women and Cardiovascular Disease, Addressing Disparities in Care. By the way, he mentioned the Framingham Risk Assessment as one way to gauge your chance of a heart attack. Well, we posted a link to that questionnaire. It's now on our website. Just go to soundmedicine.org.